From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Gary Vaynerchuk had a problem, a good problem, a really good problem to have, which is that big, giant companies were coming to his company and they were looking for a kind of service that he just simply didn't offer. And at first, he wanted to just provide it. Who doesn't? Who wants to leave money on the table? But he realized that he had to step back and really understand what they were looking for and then enter a new kind of business, the consulting business, in a very thoughtful and strategic way. And he came to me to break the news on this, him entering the consulting world. And we just ran a piece about it on entrepreneur.com. But I want to play for you the entire conversation that I had with Gary, because I just think it's super interesting to hear him talk through how he enters and why he enters a new kind of business. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about my own personal experience with Gary, because I have found talking to him over the years to be a completely fascinating experience. And I think that sharing this is just going to help set up really well what you're about to hear. So the thing is, of course, if you know anything about Gary Vaynerchuk, whether you know the ins and outs of his businesses, his many businesses like VaynerMedia, the marketing agency, you still surely kind of mostly think of him as a guy who, no matter what social platform you go to, you will find him kind of screaming like this.
Every single person here has shit. All of you. You all have shit. And nobody cares about your shit. They care about their shit because everybody's got shit. So nobody cares about your fucking complaining. Go fucking do something. And that's it.
I just found that on his Instagram. I literally just went to his Instagram and clicked on something and there it was. Classic Gary. Gary is loud. He is direct. He is very animated. He's excellent on camera. And he has a camera that's kind of following him all the time. I mean, in normal times. I don't really know what he's doing now that we're all in socially distant times. But normal times, you meet Gary and he's got like a camera crew following him just daily as he's meeting with people. And the first couple times that I met Gary, that was the circumstances that I met him under. He had a camera and we sat down, we had conversations, but they were filmed conversations. And when Gary is on camera, he's that. He's so animated and he is fast talking and he's loud and he's talking in the kinds of things that you know are just easy to break up and put on social media. And it's kind of, I have to admit, it's a little insane talking to him like that, because you're talking to him, but he is moving at the speed of entertainment. So the second that he gets a sense of what question you're asking him, he just jumps in. And there isn't that kind of meandering exchange that you have with a normal person who's not on camera. And then a few years ago, Gary asked if I wanted to grab a drink. And so I did. And the camera guy was there and filmed us for maybe a couple minutes. And then went away. And then the way that Gary talks changed, because now he didn't need to perform for the camera. Now he wasn't doing two things at once. He wasn't talking to me and kind of talking to a future audience. He was just talking to me, and it was seamless, I tell you. I mean, you know, you're still talking to the same guy and he's still thinking as fast as he normally does, but he's not performing anymore. Now he's doing a different thing. Now he's really just talking to you, which is, it turns out, a thing that Gary Vaynerchuk can do. And this made an impression on me in a good way. Maybe you've heard me talk about my idea of a character that we all, especially if we play any kind of public role, we all have to play some sort of character. We have to define the character that we are, the way that we talk and the thing that our audience is looking for and how we're going to deliver it. And I'm working on that all the time. I mean, what you're hearing right now is some version of a character that I play, right? I don't talk this way if we're sitting having lunch. That would be so annoying. And also, I have to be mindful of the kinds of things that you, the audience, are looking for from me. Here, Instagram, on stage, whatever it is, I'm not like talking about my kids. You don't care about my kids. Why would you care about my kids? You care about how I can provide insights that are helpful for you and your life and your business. And so that's the kind of stuff that I do. That's how I narrow my character. Anyway, all of that is to say that watching Gary in action and watching him be always mindful of his audience and what his audience needs, and realizing that there are times when he's talking to you, but he's also playing to a larger audience, even if that audience isn't in the room because they're all going to be seeing the product of the camera. And then there are times where the camera goes away and you literally are just the only audience. That is fascinating to me, and I think extremely impressive. And the reason why I'm telling you that is not just because I just think it's worth keeping in mind if you have any kind of public role to play, but also because the conversation that you're going to hear now, I think, lives in the middle of that. We started the conversation actually with D-Rock, his camera guy, was on the Zoom, we were using Squadcast, but it's like Zoom to connect. And he was there because I guess they're capturing digital content now. But Gary then said, D-Rock, you don't have to be here for this because this is a different kind of thing. Like, he's not going to be performative in the way, because we're going to have a more substantive business conversation. This isn't him yelling about how you have shit and everyone has shit. Like, this is going to be a conversation about strategy and consulting. So the audience is different. The audience is me, and the audience is you, and the audience doesn't want screaming about shit. The audience wants interesting discussions, and he can provide that too. So I think what you're going to hear here is a different kind of Gary than you generally do if you follow him on Instagram or see him on stage. This is Gary really digging into business and doing it in a way in which he understands who his audience is, because Gary, even though you may think of him as one thing, has many audiences, as do we all, and we all need to be mindful of it. So, okay, with all of that said, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with my conversation with Gary. You've heard me say this before, the greatest entrepreneurs are able to discard what worked yesterday. Why? Because change is inevitable, so you roll with it or you get left behind. Now I want to tell you about a new book that preaches just that message. It's called Believe in People, and it's by Charles Koch and Brian Hooks. This is a deep inside look at the principles of social progress told by one of the world's most successful businessmen and philanthropists, as well as through dozens of stories of inspiring change makers. Mark Andreessen, the founder of Netscape and celebrated Silicon Valley investor, he called this book, quote, a clear path to success for anyone who wants to make a difference, end quote. Believe in People contains the stories and lessons of how people unite to inspire change across the core institutions of society, breaking through the barriers of partisanship in the process to focus on what matters, which is solutions. You can pre-order the book Believe in People today at believeinpeoplebook.com/vision and gain access to bonus content ahead of its November 17th publication. Again, that is believeinpeoplebook.com/vision. All right, we're back. So it is now time to get into my conversation with Gary about his entry into consulting. And there are a couple reasons why I think it's worth hearing this. Number one is because it's interesting to hear why and how he took VaynerMedia into consulting in the first place. It was very strategic. And then also we talk about what mistakes he sees large companies making as they try to enter more innovative and contemporary spaces and reach younger audiences. So the kind of headline-ish, boring way of saying all this via his PR team, just so you have it, is that this is what they're doing. Quote, the new offerings enable clients to work with VaynerMedia on a short-term basis, giving them access to the agency's disruptive way of thinking and deep cultural insights in order to transform the way they market their brand, end quote. So that's the dry way of saying it. And when Gary and I began talking, I started by asking him how he explains this new project in his own words.
You know, we innovated in the agency landscape with VaynerMedia. I bought purewow.com several years ago. We started 137 PM. We've started a bunch of successful podcasts. And so we've innovated in the publishing ecosystem. And what we noticed was happening was there was a lot of thinking we do that's very progressive, whether it's around audio, influencer, sonic branding, voice, creative and media for that matter, to be honest. That esports, Gen Z, these were a lot of things that people were coming to us at Vayner through our website, through email, through CS and can and cocktail hours. And it just became very obvious that we were in a position to innovate what I would call Deloitte, Bain, McKinsey, Accenture, or the many other consultants that are out there around very narrow places that we feel very confident in. And so we decided to stand up a consulting practice, which is based around decks and meetings. This is, we call it, it's code worded in our organization, it's the first time I'm saying this publicly, steal our brains. In a world where we know we're not gonna be able to be the agency for everybody, in a world where we know that a lot of people are curious about me and us, in a world where my behavior, my execution, and Vayner's execution has a track record of being right around emerging things. However, the biggest companies in the world are not ready to spend $10 million on whatever new thing is happening. We basically scratched our own itch from demand and things that we would add on to scopes that when we were servicing media or creative, or added value, to be honest. I like to say it this way. I think we had permission to create a affordable six-figure. That's how I thought about it. What is a 100,000, really, it's to be fair, $150,000 to $500,000 consulting thing that runs the gamut of 4 months and four decks to 4 weeks and four decks to 6 months and 16 meetings and six decks. What does that, what does that business look like when you really are at the forefront of thinking and strategizing around influencers, esports, TikTok, blah, 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 blah. And so that's why we stood it up. And we got to it because of the hundreds of inquiries a month from our website that we would have conversations around. And it was square, you know, object, circle, peg. And I was like, this is silly. We have tens of millions of dollars that want to be given to us. We have tens, and I think that's the fair answer, tens, call it 50 or 60 of the biggest organizations in the world that want to work with us, but can't fit us into their agency roster because they're in contract or they're happy with their creative or media agency. However, they don't get the sharp thinking around merchandising expansion or esports, because I own an esports team. Like, you know, we've got to the maturity level where our reputation preceded us and people wanted to do a $270,000 project with us and win, and our media and creative product did not service that. And then I did a lot of homework for about a year of, oh my God, the biggest companies in the world are spending $800,000 for a very poor product of thinking around cryptocurrency or voice AI. And so, you know, there was an article maybe, and you can refer, I don't know how you want to write this, but I know there was an article, Harry, maybe you can help, like around when we won the Voice AOR for Chase. And that was something we did 2 or 3 years ago and was really successful and really was an alpha sneaky preview to what was in my head already even back then. And we've run some very successful campaign consulting projects even during COVID around esports, around how to structure a modern creative and media playbook. And I'm really excited about it. It's a really fun business because with VaynerMedia, when we become the creative or media or social or digital AOR, it takes usually 24 months for a client to really know that that was a really good decision, or 12 months at least, right? Whereas this has been really rewarding where after 12 weeks, I think what we're really good at is staying very narrow and very deep in the things we decide to make consulting products. And I think I've been blown away by the positive sentiment from the clients, because I think that there's a misunderstanding of how overpriced consulting can be in corporate America for what they actually get. And I would call it a lot of money for expensive vanilla. And I think we're bringing value added mint chocolate chip and coffee and Rocky Road. And I think I've been really fired up, to be honest about it, Jason. Clients have responded extremely well. To be frank, what I've learned in the first 180 days of it is we're not charging enough. And clients are smart, right? They don't necessarily want you to know that, but they've almost been like guilted into saying, yeah, you know, by the way, that was a lot of value for 280. Keep that in mind, Gary. So anytime that's the feedback, you know you're onto something.
So that's awesome. I wanna get into how you picked those specific areas of expertise and what you're seeing the needs are out there. But just to go back to developing the service to begin with, because you're getting these requests. They're not something that you're kind of structured to do. I wondered if you had tried to service these requests without the structure in place. People are coming to you that for insight, there are other reasons why maybe they're not getting the full boat of other services. And, you know, I mean, a challenge, of course, that so many businesses have is that they'll see an opportunity, they'll try to serve it because they see that there's money being left on the table, but they're not really structured for it. And therefore they're detracting from their main mission, and they're having their employees run around without a full understanding of what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Did you try to serve?
We stood up consulting in the past in a different format. Successfully, by the way, it actually probably led to the creation of the Sasha Group, which is another agency within the VaynerX world. We kind of took the energy of consulting that we had inside of VaynerMedia. Many of the executives, Maribel Lara, Katie Hankinson, and Mark Evans, went with our former COO, James Orsini, who now is the president and runs the Sasha Group. We kind of stood it up fairly successfully and then took that energy and started a new agency because we were successful in mid-size companies more than with big companies. But we learned a lot through it, to your point, a lot of those mistakes, trying to take pieces of percentage of people's time and this and that. We did eventually take Dennis, we called him Dog, too, because of his initials of his name. He went in to do his own consultancy. We did make him full-time. And this time, we're kind of doing it the same. We took Kaylin McNamara, who is a VP in another on account, to come and kind of spearhead this with a leg in new business as well, because you can kind of connect the intent to the execution. So yes, we made those mistakes over the last 5 years, trying to take the energy and form it into our core services of creative and strategy and really then in value add solve what they were asking for. Too rigid, too selfish. We stood up another part, too half pregnant. We stood it up again, to your point earlier, we stood up again and actually nailed it so well that we started a separate company altogether and then came back to the well this fourth time, in my opinion, I would call it four heartbeats. And this time, to the first part of your question, we did it around the things that I know best. That's just the truth, because I'm using myself as a stopgap and as an auditor of the people I've hired and put in positions to do the work. My strengths in Gen Z, esports, modern media and creative together, blueprints, merchandising extensions, swag or extensions of brand, there's such deep strengths that we can over-deliver with me as added value. And that's where we started, the places where we had permission to be great at. And I think we're great at those things. And that's why we have those things in place.
Yeah, well, that goes to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was why you selected those areas. And that explanation makes sense to me. But that also has to marry with what you're seeing as the general needs
of
these kinds of clients. So I'm curious, what kinds of things were people reaching out to you about? Where you feel like are the needs?
Contemporariness. Mm. Right? Contemporariness, esports, influencers, TikTok, crypto, voice, AI, AR, like anything that, because of my track record as an investor, because the fact that what we brought to the Madison Avenue ecosystem 11 years ago, which was basically what's playing out now with social media, there's a confidence now from former clients, current clients, somebody one step removed from current clients, that, hey, if we're gonna do something new, Vayner's probably a better agency to do this with than a lot of other people. Because in all of our thinking around these genres, they do come through the filter or the lens of how you then communicate them. It's not enough to just have a esports strategy. You're gonna then need, if you're a donut or a coffee or a sneaker or a hoodie or a deodorant, cool, thank you for telling us what's happening, but our cadence in communicating the post game of it is setting that, it's almost like we're putting the ball on the tee for them to hit. Not only are we telling them, hey, you should play baseball and here's a bat and here's a baseball and here's the rules and here's the current state, but we're gonna put this nice little baseball on this tee and now you get to swing it. And whether that means you're gonna go swing it and hit it with other partners internally, or you'd like to talk about us being the executors of, I think the fact that we do our consulting in a manner that hands them the baton And it's not just pontification or education for the sake of education, but it comes through the lens of setting up execution. There's been a practicality to that that has really struck a chord. And I'm really proud of that because much like the agency, I was naive to that fact that consultants don't normally do that. Like to me, unless I'm making it practical, I'm a waste of money. So yes, I will spend all this time to speed up your process to understand the consumer insights on Gen Z through the filter of YouTube and Spotify and TikTok. But then we're also going to talk about content and media and execution variables in there that then set you up of saying, oh crap, now we understand this is what we need to think about doing. Oh, and here's how we can do it. And whether Vayner's the right partner or whether you build it internally or whether you work with your current agency roster to do that, we're thrilled. That's the other thing I've been really proud of. Jason, we've been very focused on this not being a product that is a gateway to more work. I've pounded into my company. These things are, even though they might be quote unquote small for corporate America, remind yourselves that $313,000 is an extraordinary amount of money and that this should be worth more than that to them when it's over, not we got paid $313 to say, and now you can buy the $1 million thing from us. That's also how I think we become very successful in this category, by not being the cliche that I hear and see out there in the world.
If you don't say that, do you think that that's what a team does? They see it as an upsell opportunity?
Yes, I do. And the way we've structured it internally and nobody being compensated or rewarded for anything in consulting leading to more has been very important to me, because I don't want even subconscious behavior, because I believe what the VaynerX machine is doing is changing the relationship graph of agencies and brands. I think we come from a level of purity. And by the way, I'm not Mother Teresa. I think, as you may recall, my goal is to buy businesses and brands and incorporate them into this. So my big vision just happens to align my interests with my clients a little bit better, I think, than the alternative agency options. And I want to continue that in consulting.
Is that you said you had done a lot of research into the consulting world before launching this. Was that a pain point that you were seeing? Was that small consulting was basically a funnel into large consulting?
I spent most of my time talking to people that are former employees and current friends and executives in those companies. And so these were very off the record. I knew the customer had a pain point, because all you hear about is overpaying for work, right? Like, that was a foregone conclusion. No, this was more of like, get a buddy drunk so she or he tells you that we're ripping them off with this. You can't believe it. It's a 15-week project. It really only took 2 weeks and we're making $9 million because we're this brand. And you know, there's these incredible iconic brands in consulting that hire Harvard and Stanford, incredible, you know, academia. I think what we're focused on is practicality, right? If that's academia, we want to have the State of the Union conversation around esports, because almost a shocking percentage, for example, of consumer brands need to have an esports strategy, because it is going to be an arena that is going to really, really, really matter to them over the next 5 years. And even right now, for a lot of snacks and a lot of other cultural items, especially 15 to 30 year olds, a lot more female than users and advocates than people realize. Twitch has doubled in size. So for example, in that arena, a lot of those brands will overpay for IP to put on their package to do a retail program. If we can educate them, instead of spending $1 million on an IP arbitrage, throwing on their little snack pack to try to get more stacks in Walmart, we're going to teach them how to do that for $100,000. Don't overpay for this. Look for the value here. This is the difference between the gamer and the league and the IP. In the gaming community, there's the influencer world, call it FaZe Clan. Then there's the actual great players, Booga. Like, this is real talk. This is real knowledge, which then, you know, like one client already said to me, wow, like verbatim, you know, we don't love consulting. We heard a lot of great things. The person that made the decisions worked with you, so we felt comfortable. But holy cow, within 3 weeks, we saved $1 million of wasting because we made this investment. You know, I was a poor student. So a lot of people think, and I talk a lot about school in my content, people think that I'm anti-education. I'm massively pro-education. I'm anti the way it's sold and packaged and executed. So to me, this is about getting people genuinely educated on the contemporary moments of consumers' interests, and then focusing on how do we make DEX meetings, information exchanges that empower them to not waste money on their media and creative executions going forward.
Hey, I'm just jumping in here for a second to say we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, the conversation is pivoting away from just consulting and towards what Gary sees large companies missing. What mistakes are they making and what opportunities are they overlooking in getting into these new spaces that he is now guiding them into? Okay, quick break. As any financially savvy person will tell you, you need a diversified portfolio. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you got to mix those up. But they don't often include real estate in that list. You know why? It's because real estate hasn't been available to the average investor before. But now it is, thanks to Fundrise. So here's how it works. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. To date, Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for 130,000 investors. And since 2014, the Fundrise platform has averaged 8.7 to 12.4% annual returns, and investors have earned more than $79 million in dividends alone. Fundrise's team of real estate professionals carefully vets and actively manages all of their real estate projects. So does this sound interesting? Then start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/problem solvers to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/problem solvers to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So like I said, we are now pivoting the conversation into what companies are missing as they try to reach new consumers.
When people are coming to you for contemporariness, are they aware of what they should do and don't know how to do it? Or are they not aware of what they should do? Which is to say, like, let's just take esports, you know?
But you know what ends up happening, right, Jason, what I'm trying to save, and this is a huge shout out to Ninja, so everybody understands. Ninja is the great face, the Tony Hawk of esports. The mistake for a lot of brands is they just blindly decide to write a $500,000 check to Tyler when at this point he's done so many things that you have to really ask yourself, is that the right use of your money? So what ends up happening, it's just like influencer marketing or the Kardashian play. And these are, again, because I love Tyler, this is not a Raz, this is a great head nod. By the way, I think it's, let me be even more practical. A lot of people end up using me as a keynote speaker for a very big price tag instead of using something more proper for that moment. And so sometimes I'm right because you're looking for broad, and sometimes I'm not right. And I feel like we want to educate people to get so smart of the ecosystems of influencer, Gen Z, TikTok, esports, voice, AR, those things that we do, what podcasts, the things we do well, really well, that they, I'll give you a good example. Podcast. Most of the Fortune 500 brands are not spending money on podcasting because there's no reporting, and so they can't justify it on their media spend. Yet, if they were deeply educated on the podcast ecosystem, they would be spending like crazy on the ecosystem because they would be stealing customers. That's bad. And that's not something that's being fixed in the agency big brand world right now. So to me, we can get paid $200,000 for a 4-month project that deeply educates the media head, the brand heads, the CMO, the board, the CEO, whatever it takes. They're going to then go spend $1 million on podcasting that's going to explode their business instead of not spending it for 2 years, then overspending $2 million on garbage.
Right. So it's a mixture you're seeing of missing the opportunity and also misunderstanding the opportunity.
That's correct. And when you talk about new, because Fortune 500 works on reporting that's slow and often flawed, it's our unique positioning in the marketplace. I think that we've been so good at it. And I think a lot of our clients, there's a small group of clients who've been able to take advantage of us doing the right things for them on Vine and Twitter and Facebook and TikTok through the years. I think there's a bigger, broader reach for us helping the market because not everyone's gonna sign us as their media and creative AOR and spend millions, if not tens of millions with us. A far bigger group might come in and pay $400,000 to steal our brains. If they're able to then go execute it, that's going to shine very well on us. And then that leads to reputational opportunity in the future.
I want to circle back to some of these other contemporarinesses, because I think that to steal your brain in the process of talking about stealing your brain for a second. So you're seeing people who, I just want to list off some of the things that I've just pulled from what you just said, and then I want you to add to it because I think these are really interesting insights. So number one, knowing that you have to play in a particularly new space, a space like esports. And so the mistake is often grab the big player, grab the first person you see that people are talking about, whereas that might not be the actual thing that delivers for you.
Correct.
Number two, some of this stuff is so new that it may not, as you were talking with podcasting, that it may not be able to fit
measure
into the data,
correct,
right, into the data collection that you already have. And therefore, it's hard for your strategy team,
correct,
to really recognize the opportunity.
Correct. Where common sense is taken off the table and historical reporting mechanisms are the religion, yet the executives know that they're missing an opportunity. And then thus, can something like this create the equity to create actual movement in the modern actual consumer behavior portals?
Is there like one more kind of big misunderstanding?
SMS.
Contemporaneous?
I mean, the opportunity coming with SMS is extraordinary. Wine text is something that I've already launched 18 months ago for my dad and is completely, and let this be no confusion, completely transformed my dad's business. My dad's business exploded under my watch. I've been gone day to day since 2011, which means it's declined. And literally with one execution with an SMS, it is back to levels of me and my prime. That's scary. So SMS is gonna be another area we do a lot of damage in. I understand it. This is the beauty of my ecosystem. I live everything so early that when I bring it back to the VaynerX shop, we're not doing this at a hypothesis. We're doing it as practitioners. And that has been if I'm ever lucky enough to grace the cover of your incredible publication again, my dream would it be to say the practitioner, because that is what we have brought to the table. Unlike every other agency in Madison Avenue today, none are run by a CEO who's actually a practitioner in contemporaryness at the level that I am.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that what I love about the way that you do it is that you're not just behind the scenes talking about it, but you are very actively engaged in every part of it.
Ahead of my own company, Jason.
Yeah.
I'm ahead of my own company, which is a very fast company. And to your point, and I have a lot of respect for the other CEOs of the big agencies, but they are absolutely operators and CFOs by trade, not cutting edge practitioners of creative and media and consumer centric behavior.
All right. And that was the conversation. I'm cutting it off kind of abruptly because after that, we transitioned into talking about something else that you're going to see in the January issue of the magazine. So a little sneak peek on what that might be. Anyway, I hope you found that illuminating. I totally did. And what I really love about hearing the way that Gary is thinking about it is that he saw an opportunity. He realized that you've got to not only figure out how to seize it and do it right, but figure out how to create your own space in that world. Because even though clients were coming to VaynerMedia looking for some kind of short-term consulting work, it wasn't enough to just provide it to them. You have to understand what is the white space opportunity here and what's the larger thing that these inquiries are really signaling. You know, it's not just saying, oh, this company and this company are looking for some insights. It's saying, oh, there's a marketplace out there. And if we think about it right, then it really is there for the taking. And that, as Gary is now advising companies to do in many other ways, is how you find new opportunity.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.